Okay, open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We praise you. We praise you for everything that you've done for us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that is here to teach us and guide us, show us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. You've given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We gladly receive that. Now we know that we can open up your word with confidence, and we can learn of Jesus, and we can be led by the Spirit of God because we are the sons of God, and we thank you for this. We praise you for this time of worship. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes you need to find somewhere in the Bible that's your goal and then backtrack your way out of there and find out how to get to that goal. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to it that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That is a heavy handful of verses right there. Not only are you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you're in right standing, but you've been made ambassadors for Christ. That's pretty heavy. That's pretty heavy. An ambassador is a minister of the highest rank. You're an ambassador for Christ. That means your job in the whole scheme of things is to go out there and make reconciliation between God and man. See, that's not a light job. But that is a job for everybody. And too many people think that they can't do it. And see, that's just not true. What I want you to look at now is Deuteronomy chapter 28. You've got to understand that Jesus qualified you. He qualified you for every good thing and every good work. What we got to do is learn of him. When we learn of him, we'll learn about his goodness. When we learn about his goodness, we'll share that with the world. Yeah? And then we'll tell people about Jesus. You know, people will ask you, say, there's something different about you. What's changed about you? And you can just tell them, I've been hanging around and learning about Jesus, and he's done this for me. And he's done that for me. And he'll do it for you, too. You want to get in on the deal? You can get them born again, or you can bring them to church. Here's the thing, though. The Bible tells us that the goodness of God will lead men to repentance. Not fire and brimstone. Not the law, not anything else. The goodness of God. When people see the goodness of God in operation, they'll look up and they'll start asking questions. They'll want to know, what's this about? You know, You mean God's not mad at me? I told a soldier that one time. We weren't in the same circle, but we had encountered each other from time to time, and I noticed he pretty sad one time. And God told me, he said, go tell him that I love him. I said, okay. I went up there and I told him, hey, God loves you. And he looked at me just serious as he could, and he said, how could he love me? I killed somebody. I said, we're going to have a talk. Sent him down on that chair and I said, the way God gave those 10 commandments to Moses, he said, you shall not murder. He said, you can't have a God of mercy without having a God of war. And he looked at me and said, because he had been a soldier in Beirut. And he'd been carrying that guilt all those years. And I said, you're forgiven. And the very next thing, I know, he was in church. He wanted to know. He wanted to check me out. He wanted to check out this information. And then he didn't look back. His life was completely turned around from that point on. Wasn't no fancy talk. Wasn't no fancy nothing. It's just saying God forgives you and he loves you. The goodness of God leads men to repentance. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 1 says, it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. All these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind, and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you and your storehouses, and that all that you set your hand unto, he shall bless you in the land which the Lord thy God gives you. The Lord shall establish you a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee this, if you shall keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, and all people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give you. The Lord shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. And you shall lend unto many nations, you shall not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. You are the head and not the tail. You are not lacking. You are not lagging behind. God has put you in a position where you are the head and not the tail. Why don't more people walk in it? Because they don't know it. And if they hear it, they don't receive it. Our job is to receive from Jesus. You're the head and not the tail. You're above only and not beneath. God has put you in such a place. When you got born again, he put you in this place of authority. Your job is to receive it, believe it, receive it, and walk in it. Amen. Don't qualify yourself. Don't look in the mirror. And do not look at your past for your qualification. Don't let your past define your future. You let God define your future. He took care of your past. Let him take care of your future. Romans chapter 5. Let's go back up here to the New Testament. Go to Romans chapter 5, verse 17. And I want you to see something. You need to receive this and understand this. For by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. We receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness to reign in life. That's a kingly judicial rule that you receive. Well, how can I say that? Well, the Bible tells us that you've been made kings and priests. Amen? See, that was never ever, that never ever happened in the Old Testament. You was either a king or you was a priest, but you was never a king priest. But the Jesus way of doing things, he made you king priests. As kings, you declare something. As priests, you offer up praises to God. You've been made king priests. So, we receive these two things from him. Now, some people think that God's blessings are based on performance and good works. No, that's under the Old Testament. Under the Old Testament, under the law, your blessings were accordance to your performance and your good works. But that one man's offense made us sinners. That was Adam. Adam. Because Adam, we have Adam's blood. Did you know we're all related? You know, you're my brother from another mother. Did you know that, Butch? You got Adam's blood flowing through your veins. The very fact that you're a human being on this earth means that you have Adam's blood flowing through your veins. Now, because of that, we was all made sinners. All of us. Now, one man's obedience, Jesus' obedience, made us righteous. Now, notice this. In that verse, it did not say, when you achieve grace and righteousness. It said, when you receive grace and righteousness, you shall rule and reign in this life. So you're going to have to receive that gift of grace and that gift of righteousness. He's abundantly poured it out on you. You receive it. There's nothing you can do to deserve these blessings. All those blessings in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 through 14, that was a covenant that God had cut with Abraham. And he told Abraham, said, you do this and you're going to be blessed. You know something, Abraham? He didn't do everything right. So how did he get to be so blessed? Because when they cut that covenant and it came time to walk through those pieces of those carcasses, God laid Abraham into a deep sleep and laid him off to the side. And there was a God and Jesus walked through those pieces. It talks about it. There was a smoking pot and a lantern or some kind of a fire. I can't remember exactly, but it was God and Jesus walked through there. If Abraham would have got down in that blood and guts and the goo and walked in them carcasses and pronounced these blessings and cursings with God, he'd have been toast. He couldn't have walked that walk. But the Bible tells us that Abraham believed God and God accounted it to him for righteousness. He was in a covenant of grace. You know, when the children of Israel, when they were in bondage in Egypt, did you know that they were in a covenant of grace? Well, how can you say that? They were in bondage. They were slaves. How could they be in a covenant of grace? Well, the same way thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of Christians around the world are in a covenant of grace, but they don't know what's in that covenant, so they don't know how to receive it. They don't know how to operate in it, so they stay in bondage. Amen. What you don't know will hurt you. It's good for you to open that thing up and read it. Find out what's in there. Find out what you got. So, now that we know that there's nothing that we can do to deserve these blessings, they're based entirely on receiving Jesus. So what do we do with that? Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified." Did you know you've been perfected? This is where you got to not look in the mirror and not look at your past. Just look at the Bible. That's what the Bible says. You've been perfected in spite of your shortcomings. God did a perfect work in you. When you got born again, your spirit got born again, and he did a perfect work. You've been perfected forever. It's been taken care of by the blood of Jesus. That one sacrifice. And then he sat down with you perfected forever. Now, just in case where you're wondering where you landed at in this whole thing, look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 says, "For God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now, where did we just say Jesus was seated at? At the right hand of God. That's where you're at. That's where you're at. You're an ambassador of the highest rank, seated at the right hand of God. You know, a really cool thing about Joseph when he was a slave in Egypt? He got the signet ring of the Pharaoh. I mean, what he said, it was just like the Pharaoh saying it. And that's what you got when you got born again. You got given the name of Jesus. And when you say the word of God in the name of Jesus, it's just like Jesus himself saying it. Now, look over here to John chapter 1. This is one of the coolest verses you're ever going to see. John chapter 1, verse 17. It says, "For the law was given by Moses, by man, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." You want to know who grace and truth is? His name is Jesus. Amen. You want to know who Jesus is? It's grace and truth. Amen. Grace and truth came by Jesus. The law was given, but grace and truth came. Jesus fulfilled the law. There was no man ever been able to do that. From the time God gave Moses the law on Mount Sinai, there was never a man that was able to fulfill the law. You know, they had a deal called the Year of Jubilee. And whenever the Year of Jubilee come around, you know, see if everybody had been walking according to the law and they fulfilled everything, they did everything right at the Year of Jubilee, then all the slaves were to be set free, all debts were to be cleared, all property was to be given back, everything was to be made right. And guess what? The Jewish nation never celebrated a Year of Jubilee from the time they had Mount Sinai all the way till Jesus came and became our Year of Jubilee. Amen? All debts were cleared. Praise God. Now, go to 2 Corinthians, or Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, I'm sorry. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 14. So blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. That's the law. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. You know, the devil armed himself with the law. That's how he beats up Christians. But Jesus disarmed him with the covenant of grace. Remember in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. If you feel yourself falling into condemnation, try to figure out what part of the law you're trying to keep. Try to figure out what you're doing to try to be good enough to be in God's favor. Because here's what the devil will do. He'll come up and he'll remind you of these mistakes that you made. And he'll say, you call yourself a Christian? You go to church? I seen you pound that six-pack down last night. And you go to church the next day? You know how I disarmed the devil on that one? I tell the old boy, I said, if you get a little shaky, I want you to have a toddy, but go to church. Go to church. Why would I do that? I don't want him dying in church. I want him to stay alive long enough for God to get his word into him so he can survive. Maybe God can get some clarity into his foggy mind and he can survive that deal. Amen? See, Jesus has fulfilled completely the righteous requirements of the law. The devil cannot use the law to condemn you every time you fail, unless you let him. See, when he comes to remind you of your mistake, you need to tell him, no, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation for me. I am not under the law. I am under grace. And he's a rat. He'll try to come make you feel bad for every little thing you did. Amen? And if you give him even an inch, he's going to take a mile. But God gave the law for one purpose, and that was by the law, the world would have knowledge of sin. And then recognize their need for a Savior. That's what God used the law for. If any man would honestly look at the law, honestly, he would see there's no way he could keep it. And he'd say, I better call on the name of Jesus or I'm toast. But pride will keep a man thinking that he can earn his salvation somehow. See, the devil uses the law to keep people beat down. The most beat down Christians I know were people that were trying to live a certain obedience. They were trying. They had a heart to try to please God. They had a heart. They were trying to do something right. They were trying, and they were working, and finally they said, I have had it. I can't live like this. I can't do this. And they walked away. Well, when a preacher sits up there and preaches the law to them every Sunday for 20 years, some of the meanest people I knew were Christians. They were fed up trying and always failing, always coming up short. They're on the wrong side of the cross. And the preacher's feeding them from the wrong side of the cross. It's got to stop. God wants you to rule and reign. He wants you to reign in this life. But you have to receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. That means you have to realize where you've been positioned in this whole thing. Sitting down. When you're sitting down, you're not working. The only thing you can do is receive from Jesus. Jesus did say to take his yoke upon you and receive of him. Learn of him. The more you learn about him, about who he is, what he's done for you, what he's done for you in his death, burial, and resurrection, what he's doing for you right now, the more you receive of him, the more you're going to rule and reign in this life. Amen? And the more of that you receive, the more you're going to realize that I don't have to be some word of faith hot rod. All I have to do is believe on him. That faith is going to happen in your heart. You're going to keep receiving of him. You're just like that vine. You're just like that branch that's tied to that vine. Jesus is the vine and you're the branch. When you stay connected to that vine, that life is going to flow into you. And fruit's going to happen. You're not capable of making any fruit on your own. But that fruit will happen. It'll just happen. But perchance, if you think you're cool enough to live without the sap, go ahead and separate from the vine. And go out there and do it on your own. And see how frustrated you get. Jesus made it easy for us. He said, just abide in me. Just abide in me. That's not so hard. When we learn of him, great things will happen. You'll realize who you really are. I knew a man one time, all of a sudden his wife wasn't around anymore, and I said, where did she go? He says, she had to go find herself. And I didn't know anything. I said, what do you mean she had to go find herself? Well, she moved away. She divorced him and moved over to another state. go to college, finding herself. Wow. That's a thing? I mean, I wasn't even born again. You know, I was drunk. And that's a thing? That one had me scratching my head for a long time. I thought, they've been married for 20 years, and she just packed up and went to find herself. Wow, this is heavy stuff. I realized, you know, you get born again, you find yourself in the Bible. You know, Jesus had to find himself in the Bible. Did you know that? He found himself in the Bible one day. He was reading to the people. He opened up the scroll. Said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, covering sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, preach the acceptable year of the Lord. They tried to throw him off a cliff for saying that. They didn't like that. Did you know the religious mafia is still around? They're not going to like you operating in the righteousness of God. They're not going to like you operating in the grace of God. They'll preach grace. They'll talk about grace. But they're not going to like you operating in that. They're not going to like you operating in the righteousness. You can see them get squirrely when you say you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because they don't know what that word means. They're confused. It means right standing with God. Build your life on this. Know this. This is your rock that you're standing on. Whatever was wrong between you and God got washed away by the blood of Jesus, and now you're in right standing with God. Amen? Thank you, Father, for this. We praise you for this time of fellowship with you and each day that we have with you, which is every day we celebrate the resurrection. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you that your word in our hearts will produce some 30, some 60, some 100-fold return on your word. We praise you that that word will take root in our hearts. We'll get revelation of it. Sometimes it might be over a plate of Mexican food. It might be in the middle of the night when we're sleeping. But we're going to get it. We're going to get it. It's going to get in our spirit. And it's going to produce for you in your kingdom. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.